think any of it. Looking at the gospel this evening from 1 Corinthians 1, 1 Corinthians chapter 1, and in 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 21, there is this statement: "It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe." It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. Now, from this statement, two questions arise, which are, why did it please God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe? And why is preaching foolishness? Why did it please God to save them that believe? Why is it foolishness? And we can find the answers to these two questions contained in verse 17 to verse 25, which read, "For Christ sent me not to baptize, but to preach the gospel, not with wisdom of words, lest the cross of Christ should be made of none effect. For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved it is the power of God. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise, and will bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent. Where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of this world? Hath not God made foolish the wisdom of this world? For after that in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God. It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. For the Jews require a sign, and the Greeks seek after wisdom. But we preach Christ crucified, unto the Jews a stumbling block, and unto the Greeks foolishness. But unto them which are called both Jews and Greeks, Christ, the power of God and the wisdom of God, because the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men." Then in verse 18, where we read, "For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved it is the power of God," because as verse 21 states that, "For after that in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God, it pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe." The preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, because they will not believe the gospel message. But unto us which are saved, it is the power of God, because we have believed the gospel message, and it pleases God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. So to be saved, a person must believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and ask him to save them. And he will, because as Acts 22 and verse 21 states that, "Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." But if you don't believe this, then it is foolishness to you, and you will perish because you won't believe. Then in verse 23, where we read that, "But we preach Christ crucified, unto the Jews a stumbling block, and unto the Greeks or Gentiles foolishness." The gospel message is a stumbling block to the Jews because they believed that their religion saved them, and they were looking a sign for a Messiah, a Savior, a King to defeat the Romans and all their enemies. And the Greeks or the Gentiles had their own philosophies, beliefs and religions, so the gospel message is foolishness to them. Then in these examples of the beliefs of the Jews and of the Greeks are summed up all the beliefs of men and women today, in that whatever it is that you believe in, and if you do not believe that you need to be saved, whatever keeps you from asking the Lord Jesus Christ to save you, then you will perish, because as Acts chapter 4 verse 10 states that, be it known unto you all, and to all the people of Israel, that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom ye crucified, whom God raised from the dead, even by him doth this man stand here before you whole. This is the stone which was set at naught of you builders, which has become the head of the corner. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. No belief or wisdom of man can save you. Only belief in the Lord Jesus Christ can save you. So if you are not saved, ask the Lord to save you, and he will, because if you do not, then later or tomorrow may be too late for you. As Proverbs 27 and 1 states, boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. Then if you are among those that believe that death is the cessation of life, and that there is no God, then Psalm 14:1 states that the fool has said in his heart, there is no God. It pleases God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. For the scripture saith, whosoever believeth in him shall not be ashamed. For there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek, for the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. Romans 10 and 11. In these verses we see four more questions that have been asked. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? Here we see that a person can't be an unbeliever if they have never heard of the Lord Jesus Christ. They need to have heard the gospel and rejected it to become an unbeliever. And if they have heard the gospel, then they have listened to a preacher. Then we ask the question, who are the preachers? And we find the answer in Acts chapter 1 verse 8, which reads, so ye shall receive power after that the Holy Spirit is come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem, and in all Judea, and in Samaria, and unto the uttermost part of the earth. And here we see that every believer who has been born again of the Spirit of God has power to be a witness unto the Lord Jesus Christ, and that they have been sent by the Lord Jesus Christ to witness at home and unto the uttermost part of the earth. And here we see in these verses that all believers, none excluded, are preachers who have been sent by the Lord to witness of him. I do not consider myself a preacher, but I found out different when one time when I was speaking to my sister about the Lord Jesus Christ, and she held up her hands in the stop position and said, stop preaching. I was only talking to her in my normal tone of voice and a conversational demeanor, but she perceived it as me preaching what I was saying about the Lord Jesus Christ. So then whether we as believers in the Lord Jesus Christ consider ourselves preachers or not, then any person whom we talk to about the Lord who does not know the Lord as their Savior will perceive our witness as preaching. But then the Lord has empowered us and sent us to witness for him. It doesn't have to be a preaching from a platform. It's witness. Any witness of the Lord Jesus Christ is considered by them that hear it as preaching. We as believers in the Lord Jesus Christ know of famous preachers of whom we respect and admire, who have led godly lives and seen many people saved through their preaching and ministry. Preachers such as Charles Haddon Spurgeon, Charles Wesley, D.L. Moody, Harry Ironside, and missionaries like Dr. Livingstone and Hudson Taylor, and many, many others who have seen hundreds and even thousands saved. And the Apostle Peter, who saw 3,000 saved in Jerusalem on the day of Pentecost, Acts chapter 2 and verse 41. And they that gladly received his word were baptized, and the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, and in breaking of bread and in prayers. Jonah chapter 2 and verse 9 states that salvation is of the Lord. Salvation is of the Lord. We as men and women are impressed by numbers, and we are therefore inclined to judge how successful a preacher is by the number of people who get saved through their preaching. And this attitude is wrong, as Jonah 2 and 9 states that salvation is of the Lord. It is the Lord who saves through the foolishness of preaching the gospel, and has nothing to do with the preacher. The preacher's part is to witness. It does not matter how eloquent the preacher speaks, or how popular he or she is, or how educated or his or her power of persuasion, because all men and women, believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, are preachers, and the success of our witness is not measured by how many get saved, because salvation is of the Lord. Salvation is of the Lord, and as a preacher, Jonah personifies this statement. As we read in Jonah chapter 1, verse 1, "Now the word of the Lord came unto Jonah, the son of Amittai, saying, Arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry against it, for their wickedness has come up before me. But Jonah rose up to flee unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord, and went down to Joppa, and he found a ship going to Tarshish. So he paid the fare thereof, and went down into it to go with them unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. But the Lord sent out a great wind into the sea, and there was a mighty tempest in the sea, so that the ship was like to be broken. Then the mariners were afraid and cried, every man unto his God, and cast forth their wares that were in the ship into the sea, to lighten it off them. But Jonah was gone down into the sides of the ship, and he lay and was fast asleep. So the shipmaster came to him and said unto him, What meanest thou, O sleeper? Arise, call upon thy God, if so be that he will think upon us, that we perish not. And they said every one to his fellow, Come, let us cast lots, that we may know for whose cause this evil is upon us. So they cast lots, and the lot fell to Jonah. Then said they unto him, Tell us, we pray thee, for whose cause this evil is upon us. What is thine occupation, and whence comest thou? What is thy country, and of what people art thou? And he said unto them, I am a Hebrew, and I fear the Lord, the God of heaven, which have made the sea and the dry land. Then were the men exceedingly afraid, and said unto him, Why hast thou done this? For the men knew that he fled from the presence of the Lord, because he had told them. Then said they unto him, What shall we do unto thee, that the sea may be calm unto us? For the sea wrought and was tempestuous. And he said unto them, Take me up, cast me forth into the sea, so shall the sea be calm unto you. For I know that for my sake this great tempest is upon you. Nevertheless, the men rowed hard to bring it to the land, and they could not, for the sea wrought and was tempestuous against them. Wherefore they cried unto the Lord and said, we beseech thee, O Lord, we beseech thee, let us not perish for this man's life. Lay not upon us innocent blood, For thou, O Lord, hast done as it pleased thee. So they took up Jonah and cast him forth into the sea, and the sea ceased from her raging. Then the men feared the Lord exceedingly, and offered a sacrifice unto the Lord, and made vows. Now the Lord had prepared a great fish to swallow up Jonah, and Jonah was in the belly of the fish 3 days and three nights. In this chapter we see that the Lord sends Jonah to the great city of Nineveh to preach to it its inhabitants. But Jonah goes to the port of Joppa and buys a passage on a ship going to Tarshish, which is Spain. But when the Lord sends a great wind, which makes a mighty tempest in the sea so that the ship could be wrecked, the mariners, in fear of losing their lives, cried unto their gods to save them, and they cast their cargo overboard to lighten the ship. So the shipmaster finds Jonah, who has gone down into the hold and lay down, and the shipmaster found him fast asleep. Then when Jonah tells them that he is a Hebrew and that he fears the Lord, the God of heaven, which have made the sea and dry land, then were the men exceedingly afraid, and they asked Jonah, what should they do unto him to make the sea calm? For the sea wrought and was tempestuous against them. Then Jonah answers, take me up, cast me forth into the sea, so shall the sea be calm unto you. For I know that for my sake this great tempest is upon you. But the mariners rowed hard to bring the ship to the land, but could not, because the sea wrought and was tempestuous against them. And then reluctantly, very reluctantly, they took up Jonah and cast him forth into the sea, and the sea ceased from her raging. Then the men feared the Lord exceedingly, and offered a sacrifice unto the Lord, and they made vows. In these verses we see that after Jonah tells the mariners that he is a Hebrew and that he fears the Lord, the God of heaven, which have made the sea and the dry land, and that Jonah knew that for his sake this great tempest was upon them, and for them to take him up and cast him into the sea, then shall the sea be calm on them. For he knew that for his sake this great tempest was upon them. But the men rowed hard to bring the ship to the land, but they could not, for the sea raged and was tempestuous against them. Then these men cried unto the Lord and said, we beseech thee, O Lord, let us not perish for this man's life, and lay not upon us innocent blood. For thou, O Lord, hast done as it pleased thee. And so they took up Jonah, cast him forth into the sea, and the sea ceased from her raging. Then the men feared the Lord exceedingly, and offered a sacrifice unto the Lord, and made vows. In these verses we see that when Jonah tells these mariners, these men, about the Lord, they stop calling upon their false gods, and call upon the Lord to save them. And in this we see that salvation is of the Lord, because when they were fighting against the storm to save their lives, and when they had lost their cargo as they had thrown it overboard to lighten the ship, where was Jonah? He was not helping them row, nor was he praying to the Lord for deliverance. He was fast asleep in the hold. He had no care for the lives of the mariners, their cargo, nor their ship, as he would rather drown than obey the Lord and go and preach to the population of Nineveh. Then in chapter 2, verse 1, we read that then Jonah prayed unto the Lord his God out of the fish's belly, and said, I cried by reason of mine affliction unto the Lord, and he heard me. Out of the belly of hell cried I, and thou heard my voice, for thou hast cast me into the deep, in the midst of the seas, and the floods compassed me about. All thy billows and thy waves passed over me. Then I said, I am cast out of thy sight, yet I will look again toward thy holy temple. The waters compassed me about, even to the soul. The death closed me round about. The weeds were wrapped about my head. I went down to the bottom of the mountains. The earth with her bars were about me forever. Yet hast thou brought up my life from corruption, O Lord, my God. When my soul fainted within me, I remembered the Lord, and my prayer came in unto thee, into thine holy temple. They that observe lying vanities forsake their own mercy, but I will sacrifice unto thee with the voice of thanksgiving. I will pay that I have vowed, salvation is of the Lord. And the Lord spake unto the fish, and it vomited Jonah upon dry land. In verse 2 we read that Jonah likens being in the belly of the fish as being in the belly of hell. Then Jonah cries unto the Lord because of his affliction, and the Lord heard him. Then in verse 8, Jonah makes this statement, they that observe lying vanities forsake their own mercy. And in this verse 8, again we see that salvation is of the Lord, because if people stick to their own beliefs and do not ask the Lord to save them, then they forsake their own mercy, and there will be no mercy for them at the judgment. Then in verse 9 we see that Jonah repents when he says, I will sacrifice unto thee with the voice of thanksgiving. I will pay that I have vowed, salvation is of the Lord. Then in chapter 3 verse 1 we read that the word of the Lord came unto Jonah the second time, saying, arise, go unto Nineveh, that great city, and preach unto it the preaching that I bid thee. So Jonah arose and went unto Nineveh, according to the word of the Lord. Now Nineveh was an exceeding great city of 3 days' journey. And Jonah began to enter into the city a day's journey. And he cried and said, yet 40 days Nineveh shall be overthrown. So the people of Nineveh believed God and proclaimed a fast, put on sackcloth from the greatest of them even to the least of them. For the word came unto the king of Nineveh, and he arose from his throne, and he laid his robe from him, and covered him with sackcloth, and sat in ashes. And he caused it to be proclaimed and published through Nineveh by the decree of the king and his nobles, saying, let neither man nor beast, herd nor flock, taste anything. Let them not feed nor drink water, but let man and beast be covered with sackcloth and cry mightily unto God. Yea, let them turn every one from his evil way and from the violence that is in their hands. Who can tell if God will turn and repent and turn away from his fierce anger, that we perish not? And God saw their works, that they turned from their evil way, and God repented of the evil that he had said that he would do unto them, and he did it not. Then in chapter 4, verse 1, we read that it displeased Jonah exceedingly, and he was very angry, and he prayed unto the Lord and said, I pray thee, O Lord, was not this my saying when I was yet in my country? Therefore I fled before unto Tarshish, for I knew that thou art a gracious God, and merciful, slow to anger, and of great kindness, and repentest thee of the evil. Therefore now, O Lord, take, I beseech thee, my life from me, for it is better for me to die than to live. Then said the Lord, doest thy will to be angry? So Jonah went out of the city, and sat on the east side of the city, and there made him a booth, and sat under it in the shadow, till he might see what would become of the city. And the Lord God prepared a gourd, and made it to come over Jonah, that it might be a shadow over his head to deliver him from the grief, to deliver him from his grief. So Jonah was exceedingly glad of the gourd. But God prepared a worm when the morning rose the next day, and it smote the gourd that it withered. And it came to pass when the sun did arise, that God prepared a vehement east wind, and the sun beat upon the head of Jonah, that he fainted and wished in himself to die, and said, it is better for me to die than to live. And God said to Jonah, doest thou well to be angry for the gourd? And he said, I do well to be angry, even unto death. Then said the Lord, thou hast had pity on the gourd for which thou hast not laboured, neither madest it grow, which came up in a night and perished in a night. And should not I spare Nineveh, That great city, wherein are more than 60,000 persons that cannot discern between their right hand and their left, and much cattle. When the Lord spake unto the fish, and had vomited out Jonah upon dry land, I wonder, was this close to Nineveh? The Lord sends Jonah a second time unto the great city of Nineveh to preach unto it the preaching that the Lord had bid him, which was, yet 40 days and Nineveh shall be overthrown. Yet 40 days and Nineveh shall be overthrown. And the city was so large that it would take Jonah 3 days to cover all the city. But verse 4 states that Jonah entered into the city a day's journey. And he cried and said, yet 40 days and Nineveh shall be overthrown. And verse 5 states, as a result of this message from God, that the people of Nineveh believed God and proclaimed a fast and put on sackcloth from the greatest of them, even to the least of them. And in verse 8, the king commanded, let man and beast be covered with sackcloth and cry mightily unto God. Yeah, let them turn everyone from his evil way and from violence that is in their hands. And in this verse we see that from the king on down to the least citizen of Nineveh, that they all repented and were saved. They even made their livestock to fast and cry unto the Lord. Then in verse 3, where we read that, so the people of Nineveh believed God. Here again we see that salvation is of the Lord, and that Jonah as a preacher personifies this statement, because it was the word of God which Jonah preached that caused the citizens of Nineveh to repent. It was the word of God which Jonah preached, yet 40 days and Nineveh shall be overturned. This caused the people of Nineveh to repent and to be saved, and had nothing to do with Jonah. It had nothing to do with Jonah's persona or his oratory ability or his charisma. Jonah was a reluctant preacher to the Ninevites, as Jonah was not only a Jew, but he was an Israeli Jew, and the Ninevites, being Assyrians, were sore enemies of Israel. So Jonah tried to run away to Spain rather than preach to the people of Nineveh. And then even when the Lord sent Jonah a second time, Jonah asked the Lord to take his life because he did not want to see the Ninevites getting saved. Jonah was so angry that the Lord would save them, and Jonah had more pity for the gourd than for the people of Nineveh. Then the Lord said to Jonah, should not I spare Nineveh, that great city, wherein are more than 60,000 persons that cannot discern between their right hand and their left hand, and also much cattle? And here we see that the Lord had pity for the young children and for the livestock. When we said earlier that we as men and women judge the success of preaching by the number of people who are saved through a preacher's preaching, and we have respect for famous preachers who see a lot of people saved, and that Peter on the day of Pentecost saw 3,000 saved. 2 Peter chapter 2 verse 5 states, Noah, the 8th person, a preacher of righteousness, brings in the flood upon the world of the ungodly. Noah was 600 years old when he and his 3 sons and their wives entered into the ark. So for how many of those 600 years was Noah a preacher of righteousness, preaching, and only 8 persons entered the ark and were saved from the flood? And the whole world population perished in the flood. In 1 Peter 3 and 18, for Christ also have once suffered for sins, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but quickened by the Spirit, by which also he went and preached unto the spirits in prison, which sometimes were disobedient, when once the long-suffering of God waited in the days of Noah, while the ark was a preparing, wherein few, that is, eight souls, were saved by water. In these verses, we see that the Lord was preaching through Noah to all the people, all the time during which the ark was being built, and yet only eight souls were saved. Then Jonah, a reluctant preacher who ran away and wanted to die rather than preach to the Ninevites, and when the Lord sent him a second time, he was angry and petulant that the Lord would save the Ninevites, who were enemies of Israel. So Jonah entered into the city a day's journey and preached, yet 40 days and Nineveh shall be overthrown. And given Jonah's attitude to the Ninevites, it's hard to see that his preaching would have any gusto or verve or dynamism or ordinary power in it, as Jonah did not want the Ninevites to get saved. Yet as we read in chapter 3, verse 5, so the people of Nineveh believed God. And in chapter 4, verse 11, we read that the Lord said to Jonah, should not I spare Nineveh, that great city, wherein are more than 60,000 persons that cannot discern between their right hand and their left hand, also much cattle? And here we see that there are 120,000 young children, and being young children, they must have had parents, and they must have had grandparents, which means there was in Nineveh at that time at least a population of 480,000 adults. And who's to say how many teenagers and unmarried adults there were also? And if the 120,000 young children were saved, there were at least 600,000 souls saved, all through the preaching of a preacher who did not want them to be saved. And so then Jonah definitely proves that salvation is of the Lord, despite the ability of the preacher. You see, what we are trying to get across here is that every believer in the Lord Jesus Christ is a preacher who have been sent to witness for the Lord. And no matter of their ability, that when they witness for the Lord, their witness is their part and the salvation is the Lord's part, because salvation is of the Lord. And as we saw last week, that believers in the Lord Jesus Christ are all stewards, and all that the Lord requires of a steward is that they are faithful. So if we are faithful in our witness for the Lord, and our salvation is of the Lord, who knows what the Lord will do with our witness? Look what the Lord did with Jonah's witness. Saved the entire population of Nineveh, which has never been done since. Romans 10 and verse 16 states that they have not all obeyed the gospel. For Isaiah saith, Lord, who have believed our report? So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. But I say, have they not heard? Yes, verily their sound went out into all the earth, and their words unto the ends of the world. In these verses we see that the prophet Isaiah asked the question, Lord, who have believed the gospel message? And then Paul asks, have they not heard? And then Paul answers his question in the affirmative with, yes, because the gospel is preached to all the earth, and their words unto the ends of the world. So we can ask the question, when did all this preaching take place? And we find the answer in Psalm 19, which reads, the heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth his handiwork. Day unto day uttereth speech, night unto night showeth knowledge. There is no speech nor language where their voice is not heard. Their line is gone out throughout all the earth, and their words to the end of the world. All of creation testifies of God and broaches every language, so that if people who live and who have never heard men or women preach the gospel, the Lord knows who they are and where they are, and the Lord speaks to them through his wonderful creation, so that if they believe, then if they believe on the Lord unto salvation, then the Lord will save them. Earlier we read from 1 Corinthians 1, verse 21, "For after that, in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God. It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. For the Jews require a sign." And in Matthew chapter 12, verse 38, we read where the Jews asked the Lord Jesus Christ for a sign. "Then certain of the scribes and of the Pharisees answered, saying, Master, we would see a sign from thee. But he answered and said unto them, An evil and an adulterous generation seeketh after a sign, and there shall no sign be given to it, but the sign of the prophet Jonah. For as Jonah was 3 days and 3 nights in the belly of the great fish, so shall the Son of Man be 3 days and 3 nights in the heart of the earth. The men of Nineveh shall rise up in judgment with this generation and will condemn it, because they repented at the preaching of Jonah. And behold, a greater than Jonah is here." And in Matthew 11, verse 21, we read, "Then began the Lord to upbraid the cities wherein most of his mighty works were done, because they repented not. Woe unto you, Chorazin! Woe unto thee, Bethsaida! For if the mighty works which were done in you had been done in Tyre and Sidon, they would have repented long ago in sackcloth and ashes. But I say unto you, it shall be more tolerable for Tyre and Sidon at the day of judgment than for you. And thy Capernaum, which art exalted unto heaven, shall be brought down to hell. For if the mighty works which had been done in thee had been done in Sodom, it would have remained until this day. But I say unto you, that it shall be more tolerable for the land of Sodom in the day of judgment than for thee. Chorazin, Bethsaida, Capernaum, three cities where the Lord had performed most of his mighty miracles. The sick healed, the lame walk, the blind see, the deaf hear, the demon possessed are set free, the dead are raised, signs galore. And yet after 3.5 years of the Lord's preaching in these cities, they never repented. And yet without signs and miracles, and after only a day's preaching by a reluctant preacher, Jonah, the people of Nineveh believed God and repented. So then, who can be saved today? Well, the Lord states in John 10 and verse 9, "I am the door. By me, if any man, that is any person, enter in, he shall be saved." And any includes you and me. Then in the Lord speaking in Revelation 3 and 20 states that, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man or person hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him and will sup with him, and he with me. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." That is, any person at any time who asks the Lord Jesus Christ to save them, then he will. It is wonderful to think that in the foreknowledge of God, that the Lord knew that the people of Nineveh would believe his word and repent, even though the Lord sent them a reluctant preacher who had no love nor concern for them. Yet God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And in the foreknowledge of God, though the Lord himself preached in Chorazin, Bethsaida, Capernaum, performing many mighty miracles with love and compassion for them, that they might be saved, the Lord knew that they would not repent. And in the foreknowledge of God, the Lord knows that the world in mass will not repent. But in the foreknowledge of God, the Lord knows every individual who has repented and those who will yet repent. And we look to the Lord Jesus Christ for salvation, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is sat down at the right hand of the throne of God, bringing many sons to glory. Salvation is of the Lord. Amen. Amen. Do you close in prayer, Bert, please?
Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for the clear exposition of the gospel message, Lord, tonight. The wayfaring man, though a fool, did not err therein. Yes, Lord, indeed. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And told that tonight. It's not the man, it's not the method. But the message of the cross, because salvation is of the Lord, and we thank the Lord for that. Thy word makes us pray to him. We are all ambassadors for the Lord Jesus Christ. Who God that assist you through us, we pray Lord and Christ can be reconciled with God. For he hath made him to do no sin, sin for us, that we become the righteousness of God in him, justification by faith, Lord. I've already been mentioned, Lord, indeed. Thy word makes it very plain that we are all priests for God. We're a royal, we're a holy priesthood, a royal priesthood in the kingdom of priests. That means every single person, man and woman, is born again of the Spirit of God. There are no priestesses. And we know that the Lord will honour every word we speak for him.
Amen.
And bless it. And I have been said, we're not going to deal with any of the charge having Spurgeon or the Apostle Paul or anybody like that. Any single sin, God, most humble sin, what to think for our Lord and Savior, our Lord Jesus Christ, will be blessed and owned of thyself and be used in the salvation of souls. I've already mentioned the most corrupt preacher in the Bible was Jonah. And he had much of a message for it. Not really a great sermon. Yet 40 days, and then we will be destroyed. Simple and plain. But the people believed it. The Holy Spirit was working on them, obviously. And they repented and believed the Word of God. And we thank the Lord for the whole city was delivered. Because we thank that salvation is divine deliverance, and we praise thy name for that.
Yes.
Old Testament, New Testament. It tells that Noah first grace in the sight of the Lord. Salvation by grace through faith and all dispensations, whether it was Noah or Jonah or anybody else or Isaiah, we thank you for that. For any grace, are you saved through faith, and not only yourselves, the gift of God, not of works as any man should boast. We thank you, this salvation, not of ourselves. Salvation is the gift of God, and it's covered by grace and received by simple faith. Those people down in Nineveh and Aurora mentioned weren't theologians, they're scholars, they were pagans. But a simple message concerning God's judgment brought them to their altar to their knees and sackcloth and ashes. And it was delivered and they're after to come. And we thank the Lord for that. And we praise thy name, the same message that painted today that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And we praise thy name for that. We thank you for blessing our brother's ministry, Lord, tonight.
Amen.
We pray that some dear lost soul or souls listening on the internet, somewhere in planet earth, will take heed to what's been told them, and be wise unto salvation, put your trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, Lord, and be saved to be eternal. And we thank you, Lord, already repeat it again, that salvation is of the Lord. And we pray that thy name, he will save whosoever will believe. And our Savior, our Lord Jesus Christ, bless his name, we thank you, praise, honor, and glory, Lord. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen.